sometimes things happen that just make you want to laugh. And sometimes you hear things that just really humor you. I was listening to a preacher this morning. I suppose since he's the preacher that I listen to most consistently and who I actually interact with on a weekly basis, he is he's my pastor. And in his message this morning, he made reference to skinning a cat. And he said, you know, there are a lot of ways to skin a cat. He's told there are a lot of ways to skin a cat. And he asked this great question. Why does anybody know that? I mean, who wants to skin a cat? Don't raise your hand. It's just, there's lots of ways to skin a cat. Who cares? It's not like you're going to eat a cat. I mean, there's no meat on them anyway. They're just wonderful pets. Anyway, I have talked with him about some things going on in my life. And in the month of December, I was experiencing some chest pains. Now, at my age, when you experience chest pains, that, actually at any age, it sends up alarm bells and red flags. And it happened, I was had to go to the doctor anyway for my diabetic checkup, and I mentioned that I was having chest pains, and I found that something happens when you tell your doctor you're having chest pains. Nothing else matters. It doesn't. I could be, you know, bleeding profusely. Doc, I got these chest pains. Oh no, we got to put you on an EKG and give. You know, and so I went through a series of tests, and I had a stress test, and then that one wasn't good enough, so they had me do another one. You know, the stress test is when you walk on a treadmill and they try to, you know, make you die or feel like you're going to die. They hook you up to a bunch of wires and you walk on this treadmill, and every 3 minutes they make it harder. And you're supposed to tell them in the second test, they said very specifically, you have to tell us 1 minute before you're going to stop. Well, you know, I can get close. I had the advantage. The first test, I knew how far I went, and I thought to myself, I can go that far again. And I did. But the cool thing is that they decided, after scaring the heart out of me, that I didn't have any problems. Okay, maybe the doctor just needed a new payment on his boat or something, but two tests, and they said, you know, I know, they actually told me, the next step is going to be a heart catheterization, and probably you're going to go to open heart surgery. That's a nice couple of weeks. And then the doctor doesn't even call you. I had to call them and say, you know, I had this test. You said he'd get back today. What's up with that? And they said, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. I want to say there is now. But it got me to thinking, I probably should get myself in shape. I mean, it's probably a good idea. There's one problem I have with that. I'm not into working out. My philosophy is this. No pain, no pain. Besides that, I am in shape. Round is a shape. Well, seriously, we really should try to stay in shape. One lady took that seriously, and when she turned 60, she started walking 5 miles a day. She's 97 today, but now, and nobody knows where she is. You know, during COVID, a lot of people have taken up some mild forms of exercise. They don't go to the gym, but they start walking and on. And a lot of people are struggling quite a bit mentally. It's tough. It's difficult. I struggle. There's times when I think, man, I'm severely depressed. And I do some reading on that. I'm supposed to know these types of things. They tell us that one out of every three Americans are presently suffering from mental distress, from mental illness. So I'm going to ask you to do this. Think of your two best friends. If they're okay, It's you. It's probably okay, though, because usually what you don't know won't hurt you, at least not much. There was a young man who went to the pharmacist to buy candy. Now, this isn't a dated story because you don't go to the pharmacy to buy candy nowadays, but back in the good old days, some of you remember those days, when you went to the pharmacy and you talked to the pharmacist about what you wanted to buy. And he said, went to the pharmacist and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of candy. And the pharmacist said, why? He said, well, you have small, medium, and large, right? And yeah, but why do you want 3 boxes of candy? And the young man said, well, I met this beautiful girl. And tonight I'm going to have dinner with her parents. And afterwards we're going on a date. And if she lets me hold her hand, I'm going to give her a small box of candy. If she lets me kiss her on the cheek, I'm going to give her a medium box of candy. And if she lets me kiss her on the mouth, she gets a big box of candy. That night, sitting at dinner, the young man said, can I pray? And he prayed this long, flowering prayer. And after he was done, his date leaned over to him and said, I didn't know you were so religious. And he says, I didn't know your dad was a pharmacist. Speaking of pharmacists, there was a lady who was having difficulty. Her hair was really dry. And so she went to the pharmacist and said, I'm struggling with dry hair. I really don't like it. You know, it's just, what can I do about dry hair? And the pharmacist suggested, because he knew she was on a budget, said, you know what? If you soak your hair in olive oil, it will, you know, give it life. And it's a good idea to have, to do that. And so she bought a thing of olive oil. And she went home and she soaked her head in olive oil and rubbed it in real good. And then she started smelling the olive oil. And she thought, wow, that's not that good. So she shampooed her hair twice after that to hopefully get the odor of olive oil out of her hair. And so she goes to bed that night and she leans over to her husband and she says, honey, do I smell like olive oil? He sniffs her. She says, no. Do I smell like Popeye? Another lady wasn't feeling very well. She went to her doctor. And he gave her a full medical examination, and at the end of it, the doctor writes out a prescription, and he gives her very specific instructions about taking this medicine. And he said, after breakfast, you take the green pill with a full glass of water. After lunch, you take the blue pill with a full glass of water. And just before you go to bed, you take the red pill with another full glass of water. Concerned because he's suddenly given her 3 different medicines, the woman says, doctor, what exactly is the problem? The doctor replied, you're not drinking enough water. It seems to me that sometimes you have to get creative to get things you want done. There was a young boy who was standing at a door, and he's trying to reach the doorbell. And he's just a little too short. He jumps and can't get it. And just at that time, he starts looking for a stick because he figures he can press the bell button with a stick. And he looks over, and there his pastor is walking on his daily constitutional. And he looks at his pastor and says, come on, pastor, come here. And the pastor, always being the kind of pastor who would help a young child when he's in need or needs something, so he comes up to him and he says, Pastor says, do you need help? And the kid says, yeah, can you help me ring the doorbell? And so he lifts up the little kid, picks him up, and he rings the doorbell, and the pastor puts him down. And the pastor says, now what? And the kid says, now we run! Now, in case you're wondering, I don't plan on becoming a stand-up comedian. I can borrow jokes from people, but I'm not really that good at making them up. But I did want to start today trying to get you to laugh, because I do like making people laugh, and the Bible says laughter is good medicine. Laughter lifts our souls and allows us to face the difficulties of life with grace. Pastor and author John Ortberg, who I actually went to college with, describes a member of his congregation. He calls him Hank. Hank was a cranky guy. He did not smile easily. And when he did, the smile often had a cruel edge coming at someone else's expense. Hank had a knack for discovering islands of bad news in oceans of happiness. His native tongue was complaining. Someone once asked him, "Hank, are you happy?" Hank paused to reflect, then replied without smiling, "Yeah." But somehow Hank's face never seemed to get the news. I've known my share of Hanks in the church. No matter what jokes I tell, they're inappropriate as far as they're concerned. I mentioned to the elders that I was going to open today with a series of jokes, and the first question they asked is, "Did you pass them by Michelle?" She has a better sense of what is appropriate than I do. And some people think that anything that elicits laughter on a Sunday morning is somehow inappropriate. They're serious people who don't see much in life to smile about or to laugh at, and certainly not in church, because for some, the church is a holy, reverent, laughter-free zone. They appear to be very holy and very reverent. And from my observation, they also appear to be very sad. If there is joy in their lives, they try to hide it on Sundays, lest it seep out in laughter. And although laughter is not always equated with joy, it seems that those without an ability to laugh often struggle with joy, which is interesting because joy and laughter are eminently biblical. The Bible gives us freedom to express our joy and freedom to laugh. Psalm 2 says, "The one enthroned in heaven laughs." The New Living Translation says it this way, "God in heaven merrily laughs. He is amused." Ecclesiastes says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance." Where I went to college, they wanted to excise that particular part. Can't dance. I often wonder why it is we decide some activities the Bible says are okay, we can't do. Laughter is one of those. The psalmist talks of the people of Israel in Psalm 126. He says, "We were filled with laughter. We sang for joy. And the other nations said, 'What amazing things the Lord has done for them.'" When we laugh, people around us begin to recognize God at work in us. This interconnection of laughter and joy is no mistake. The Bible tells us that God laughs and His people laugh. So why are we surprised? And why do we stifle our laughter? Studies have shown that a child laughs something like 400 times a day on average. It's one of the reasons I gain so much joy from interacting with my grandkids. Little Rue, who is 3, I cannot get on the phone with her without just wanting to laugh, because she finds humor and joy in everything. As adults, we tend to laugh only about 15 times a day. Why do we push laughter away? Especially when laughter feels so good and is so good for us. After all, God created a funny world, a world which is pleasing to Him, a world which is designed to bring pleasure. Just go to the zoo and watch some of the animals. Or if you don't want to go to the zoo because it's too long, too far to go over the mountain, just get online and Google funny-looking animals. I mean, some of those creatures are bizarre-looking. There's a proboscis monkey. It's got a nose about as long as your foot. And it's not as big as you. God made funny things. If you want to see some of the funny things God created, just go to the mall. Watch some of the people. Or better yet, go down the street to the grade school and just observe the laughter and the joy and the unbridled enthusiasm of a child. And laugh. You can't help but laugh when you see people enjoying life. Of all the creatures God created, only human beings have the ability to truly laugh. I know there's a laughing hyena, but that's just a weirdo. It doesn't laugh at jokes. That's the way it communicates. Only people laugh. It is part of what it means to be made in the image of God, that we can laugh. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? It was the night when he was going to be crucified. He's preparing them for life after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after his ascension into heaven. He says in John 15, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus was accused of a lot of things, and one of the things he was accused of was that he had too much fun. He hung out with gluttons and drunks. He was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And that term sinners is a very broad term used within the context of the Gospels, because what do sinners do in that generation? Just about anything that broke 613 different laws that the Pharisees had laid down. Basically, you could be a sinner for just about anything. If you walk 5 miles a day on a Sunday or a Sabbath day, you're a sinner. So anything it seems like anything you did to enjoy life puts you in the category of a sinner. And that's where Jesus walked. I can't imagine Jesus not laughing, not having a good round of jokes with the disciples. He probably talked about fishing. Things like, never mind. My filter just went up. This is where you say, amen, thank you, Lord. Paul says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 14. You know, I began this message seeking to get you to laugh, because laughter is good medicine. It's not evil. It's not sinful. It is a gift of God. It is a reflection of God and His very nature. Laughter is good medicine. Deep within the heart of God is a joy expressing itself in His mighty acts of creation. And He created us in His image and in His likeness. He laughs so we can laugh. And I would suggest to you that genuine human joy naturally expresses itself in merriment and laughter, playful expressions of people making light of the bumpy circumstances of life and having fun with each other. Be of good cheer, Jesus told his disciples. There are tribulations in this life, but I have overcome this world. And so we can laugh. Joy and laughter are biblical, but they are also very beneficial. Now, of course, most things which are biblical are beneficial. When I wrote this, I was scratching my head thinking, what things are that are biblical that aren't beneficial? I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head, but I dug down a little deeper And I found that, you know, the concept of sin is biblical, but it's not very beneficial. But most things which are biblical are beneficial, and we know that joy and laughter are. Proverbs 17, a joyful heart is good medicine. Laughter is good medicine. Proverbs 15:15, for the despondent every day brings trouble, but for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. Our emotions are extremely powerful things. They cause us to sweat, to weep, to tremble. Our emotions cause us to turn white with fear, red with embarrassment, purple with anger, and green with jealousy. Our emotions really do affect us physically. They affect us negatively and they affect us positively. And they drive us to different ends. They impact our outlook on life. They can turn us into an optimist or a pessimist. They can turn an optimist into a pessimist and a pessimist into an optimist. Because you can be both depending upon the situation. Someone wrote about the differences between a pessimist and an optimist, the types of things they do. An optimist invented the boat. A pessimist invented the life preserver. An optimist invented the airplane. A pessimist invented the parachute. And more poignantly, an optimist laughs to forget. The pessimist forgets to laugh. As believers, we don't have to be optimists. It's not a requirement. It's not one of the fruits of the Spirit, although joy is. We don't have to be an optimist, but we do have to embrace joy. Reflecting the image of God, we embrace laughter because it is good medicine. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news makes for good health, Proverbs 15:30. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, goes on and says, a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Someone rightly said that laughter is like life's lubricant, like oil in an engine. It keeps things running better. Look again at Proverbs 15. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. So we have a choice. We embrace joy and laughter. We develop a happy heart and live well. Or we spurn laughter and see trouble. It is worth it to look for laughter every day, to laugh about life, to smile and to allow the joy of your heart to seep out your mouth. Laughter is healthy and holy. It is biblical and beneficial. Medical science happens to agree. Those who laugh tend to live longer and healthier lives. Those who laugh tend to recover from illnesses quicker. According to Psychology Today, bouts of laughter can boost the immune system, relax muscles, aid circulation, and protect against heart disease. It can abet mental health. Laughter can lower anxiety, release tension, improve mood, and foster resilience. We ought to laugh because laughter is good medicine. Joy and laughter are biblical, they are beneficial, and they are also just plain beautiful. One of the things I really, really dislike about masks, about preaching to a congregation all masked up, is that although I can hear when you laugh, I can't see when you smile. The feedback is so much more limited. Laughter and joy are attractive. They are becoming of believers. Proverbs 15 again, a glad heart makes a cheerful face. The cheerful of heart has a continual feast. We don't need psychologists to tell us this, but Psychology Today does anyway. It says this: there is plenty of evidence showing how being funny makes a person more attractive. Funny people are considered to be more social and more intelligent. Maybe I should become a comedian. Who doesn't love a person with a smile? Who doesn't love a person who is seen as generally happy and who helps us laugh? One of the problems, I said, with masks is that we can't see one another smile. We can't see one of the most attractive units or traits of humanity. And so in the absence of smiles, in the presence of masks, give those around you the gift of laughter. Think up some corny jokes that you can tell people. I was out shopping with one of my sons, and I said, I have a bunch of jokes that I say because they work. So when someone comes and says, I'm out to eat, and they say, can I have your name? I say, well, sure, but what am I going to be called? And I say things, you know, just dumb little jokes like that, that people smile and it lifts their spirits. Why don't we do that? Why don't we get some people say, man, I want that person to come in because I always feel better when they're here. It's like they give me a touch of grace. They give me a touch of laughter. If we want people in our circle of influence to be drawn to Christ, we must show them that the Christian life is something attractive, something that fills us with joy and gives us the ability to laugh even when so many things around us are falling apart. For goodness sake, smile, laugh, enjoy God's gift of laughter. Jesus spoke to us to give us his joy, not just a little bit of joy, but that our lives might be full of joy. In a world which is seeped in sorrow, hatred, and anxiety, we have our hope set upon the joy giver. And that allows us to embrace joy and laughter. Our hope in Christ transforms us into creatures of joy. And those around us are blessed because of it. Joy and laughter are becoming of believers. Our expressions of joy, our laughter will draw people to Jesus. A merry heart is a heart with a smile, a heart that loves to laugh. We laugh because we are made in the image of God, and God laughs. We laugh because we enjoy the benefits of laughter. We laugh because it is a beautiful reflection of Christ in us. So I encourage you today, express the joy of the Lord in laughter. It is good medicine. There were three sisters. Nah. Just laugh. It is good medicine. Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you for the gift of laughter. I thank you for individuals who are much more attuned into creating humor than I am, but whose humor I can share with others. I pray that you would help us to be filled with joy and laughter and peace. In Christ Jesus, always. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord fill your heart with laughter. And may you be drawn close to him as you walk lives worthy of the King. Amen.